Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you for this mom's night out online. Just the opportunity for like-minded moms to come together to encourage one another, because our heart desire is to truly to be on purpose and to be intentional according to what you have planned uniquely for one of our families. And together in this gathering, it's our opportunity, God, to be refreshed and encouraged in the call of motherhood, and to also be affirmed in the decisions that we feel you're leading us to. Because the world does not affirm us in that, and the challenges day to day cause us to doubt sometimes that we truly are hearing from you. So in this time, we want to come before you with a heart of gratitude and appreciation for this moment, for this opportunity to hear the voices of other moms who also have the desire to follow after you. And we want to thank you for this time, and we want to pray for all those moms who are coming, who are trying to get the kids in bed or trying to get the hubby home so they can get on the call. We pray for grace and peace on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, I am always, always excited about our time together, because I created this entire experience. Because I've been in those situations where I've been invited to a mom's night out, and I knew I wanted to go and be with other moms, and maybe my husband was working late, and so I was like, okay, well, there's a challenge because he's not home, and somebody's got to be with the kids, or there was a season where we were a one-car household, and so if he wasn't there, there was like not even a vehicle for me to just jump in and go.
Sure.
There were those nights where it had been a long, long day with my people, and I wanted to go see other women, but the thought of having to take a shower and get dressed was just all too much.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I was just like, I would love to, except for I'd have to put effort into this, and so never mind, and I would just stay home. So I created Moms Night Out online for other moms like me who want to connect and want to have the fellowship, but they also want to be able to be available for the family that has mixed needs and time frames that don't necessarily match with trying to leave and go somewhere special. So I figured we can get on a phone, and if it gets crazy in our house, we can hit mute on our phone and just still listen in and be encouraged and jump in when we can, but we're still here. So if you got a little one that's sick, they could be right there beside you, head on the lap. If you got a little one that needs to nurse, you can do that or change a diaper, whatever you need to do. You're available, but you're still getting what you need. So I'm glad that you ladies are here, because that's my heart's desire, is to provide an opportunity that I wished that I had when I was earlier in this motherhood journey. So for those of you who are still getting to know me, I have 7 children, and my oldest is almost 20, which every time I say that, I have to pause. Then I'm a mother of 2 adults. Age children now rocks my world. And then I have all the way down to my youngest, who is 6. And we have 1 boy and 6 girls. And so I've been in this motherhood journey now for the past 20 years. And I truly believe in the scripture that says that the older women get to go back and teach the younger women how to.
I love that.
And their families, and what does that look like? And I see such a gap in that actually happening for women. I know me. I know my story. I looked for that older woman in my life for a long time, and I truly believed that every time a house went up for sale on my street, that she was going to move in it. And I prayed that and believed that and held out for that, believing God was going to provide in that way. And when someone would move in, like, you know, like a group of guys move in the house, I thought, oh my gosh, they didn't hear from God. Like, they weren't supposed to buy that house. It was supposed to be for that older woman, my older woman. What are they doing? And it was a revelation from God when he showed me that the older woman in my life didn't show up in the way that I thought. The neighbor next door who would invite me over for tea and we would sit and have long talks and she would pour out her wisdom. I would get a book or I would hear a podcast or a radio interview. It was little pieces of wisdom and experiences with women over the years that planted the seeds within me that I needed just at that moment. It would be someone in a grocery store who would take the time to just encourage me or help me when she saw my little ones going in three different directions and she saw that look on my face like, yeah, what was I thinking trying to grocery shop with these three right now? And she would just come over and go, yeah, it won't last always. You'll be okay. And I just had one of those moments one day where I said, when I get older, I want to be that for women in my life. I want to stand up and say, I'm willing to be that encourager and that help and that mentor for moms. And I've taken that even a step further, and I have completed certification in a coaching program that now allows me to not just mentor them and encourage them, but to give them the tools that they need to really be able to overcome the mental, physical, and emotional challenges of motherhood and give them those tools that they can use again and again. So when those challenges come up, and they will, they're armed and ready to deal with it. And when challenges come up with their children or their husbands, they're armed and ready to supply their family with tools to overcome those challenges. And they truly become a conduit in their family for good, for God's grace and his love to flow. And that is the delight of my heart in the work that God's called me to. Now, that sounds glamorous, and let me tell you, it's challenging in and of itself because when God called me, I was very resistant to his timing, not necessarily the call. I was open to that, but his timing. I thought, man, like all my people are still at home. Like I kind of thought this would happen like after my kids are gone, then I get to look back and go, hey, I'm going to serve these ladies and this is what God's going to allow me to do. And he called me now when all of mine are, and I thought, come on, that's crazy. But we know that when God calls us, if you don't know, let me tell you, when God calls you, he also gives you the grace to walk out the call. And there's been so many opportunities in my life for me to see that he clearly is giving me the grace to do this. And when I feel at the end, I know that I'm in the right spot because that means I'm totally dependent on him for any of this to work. And I know it's working because you are here on this call tonight. That's his grace. So that's kind of an overview of who I am, of what we're doing here on the call. If you are at all involved in social media, I welcome you to use social media as a tool for further encouragement for those moms who can't join us tonight, who didn't know about the call or just had some other conflict in their schedule and they couldn't be here. That when you hear something that stands out to you or you want to share a nugget of what encouraged you tonight, that you post that out on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you use. And my only request is that you would use the hashtag mentor, the number four, moms with an S on it. Mentor, the number four, moms with an S on it. And that way, when I go out and search for that hashtag, I can join in with you in encouraging others. I can be a part of the conversation that you have going. I welcome that opportunity to do that. That's how we can pay it forward and keep the good news and the encouragement going.
Good.
So tonight and every mom's night out, my role is to share some context and kind of set the table. And then from there, I'm just facilitating conversation. So I welcome you ladies to join in, to share. I have questions that I'll ask you. I love for you to jump in and share your stories. So for anyone who has been on the call before, especially if you were on last month or you listened to the recording from last month's call, our theme was celebrate. And I would love to know from you what you were able to celebrate over the past month, how you were intentional to celebrate the smallest of wins to the biggest of celebrations. What came up for you? So I'll open up the call now for anyone to share something you've celebrated.
Well, this isn't catchy. I celebrated my birthday, May 1st. but it allowed me to also celebrate just having Abby and all the journey. It was more in that reflective mood. So when we had the last call, I was sort of in that reflective mood and realizing there's so much to celebrate. And sometimes some of us may have delivery stories that are a little bit challenging, but to celebrate how much I've learned and grown through Mentor for Moms and through other mothers. It was just a nice celebration, like saying, okay, I don't know everything, but I can do this. So that was my biggest celebration. Yes.
I love it. Yes, and it was a joy to celebrate you that day. I just love that you and I are connected. So that was a great celebration for me as well. And getting to see you and meet sweet Abby is one of my celebrations. I got to hold her baby. As you guys know, I see babies and I'm like, come here. Okay, come on. Let me hold the baby. I find holding babies healing. I just think there's something about holding a baby that just brings the heart rate down, brings the blood pressure down for me, and it's truly a healing deal. So I see babies, and my family knows that they can see, like, everything in me. Like, I want to go over. I know it's kind of odd, like the lady doesn't know me, but I just would love to. Okay, I'll resist, but I really would love to just hold the baby. So it's I love babies. I love children. I love that God has called me to minister and be with moms, because moms are that connection to those babies, they're charged with an incredible call, and I want to support them in that. I'll share a celebration for me. The whole theme of celebration, I'll give an overall one, was a great opportunity for me over this past month to slow down. I tend to be one who has the goals, I have the to-do list, I have my mind set on things I'm trying to achieve and accomplish. And once I achieve them, or once I get things done, the most I typically do to acknowledge them is maybe check them off or cross them off the list, and I'm on to the next. And I don't necessarily stop long enough to appreciate that thing was done, or to celebrate what just happened. In my mind, I'm like, okay, that's great. Next. And I kind of move on. So celebrating actually slowed me down to really take in all the goodness of what's happening in our lives day to day, in my life day to day. So many things I could pause and take notice of that in the past, my hurry and my focus on the next thing caused me to miss those beautiful things right there in front of me, those moments that I could pause and celebrate right then. So I just loved having that posture for the month and knowing that that was our theme, that together as a community we're all just taking time to celebrate the wins, no matter how small or no matter how huge. I appreciate that slow in my flow. And I did not mean to rhyme, but it worked. Anyone else have something to celebrate? Even if you weren't on the call, maybe you had something you'd love to share with us that you have celebrated recently. Okay. Not at this moment. That works. All right. Well, we are going to move forward with our time for tonight, with our conversation for tonight. I would like to remind you that I created a reflections sheet for you all. I hope you all find that to be a useful tool. I've got mine right here beside me, ready to go. And this is a sheet I created for you so that you can take notes from our call, that you can take time to take note of those aha moments or something that someone said that you want to remember or maybe check on later or follow up on. But then I love that next step of not just taking notes, but the first one says, in light of the recent takeaways or ahas, I will stop. And then the second one says, in light of the recent takeaways, I will start. And it's that's taking what we've heard and what we listen to on the call and making it actionable. And saying, what action will I take based upon what I've heard, right? Like, faith without works is dead. So we don't want to just fill your heads with information, but we want to give you things that are actionable and make them practical in your life so they're truly becoming a part of you. They're really helping you to move forward in the direction that God is calling you. So that gives us actions. And then that last part says, this week, I will share what I learned with, and then you get to write down the names of three or four of your friends that you want to share with. Once again, I believe that all of us are called to encourage one another. And when we have opportunities like this, when we're privileged with the opportunity to be here, I want us to not just hear this information and take it in for us, but also think, who in particular can I share this with? Who else could use this encouragement? Who else needs to hear what I'm hearing so that you can share that with her? And so, you know, this week someone shared this with me, and I thought of you, and I wanted to share this with you because I think you too might enjoy this. And it's just a way for all of us on some level to be a mentor for other moms. We get to also reach out to them and to share. So this sheet then becomes a resource for you. I recommend that after you print it out and fill it out while you're here on the call, that you hole punch it and you throw it in a binder. Because just think, at the end of the year, for however many calls you're able to attend, you can go back and look at those notes and remember, what did we talk about when we talked about celebrate? And when we talked in April, what we focused on ease. Like, what was that? And what came up for you there? Or in March, sorry, that was ease. And then in February, when we talked about simplify, we have all these different wonderful topics that we've shared on, and it's good to be able to back and reflect on those things and have a where we can make those new again. Remind ourselves of the actions we committed to take, of the things we would start doing because we heard that message or that we would commit to stop doing. And the people we can look back at and say, look at all the people that I've been able to intentionally encourage along the way. Huh, look at the influence that God is using in my life to have on others. So I encourage you to print that sheet. I put a link to it in the email. It's also on my website. So if you go to Susan, SEAY.com, that's Susan, SEAY.com, and you go to the Moms Night Out online page, there's also a place there for you to click it and download it, and you can print it and have it. Also remember that if any of this feels like it's going by too fast, please don't take on the, oh my gosh, and get worked up or anxious at all. All is being recorded. I'll send out the recording. And with the recording, I'll send a link to the Reflections page again. So if you don't have the space or the opportunity to take notes as you're on the call tonight, you can always listen to the recording and get it then. Sound good? You lady, please.
Sounds
need
good.
To get everybody going mute. Okay, I was like, everybody
yeah.
must mute it out. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, perfect. So we will get started tonight. Our topic is connection. And I absolutely love that we get to reflect on this word and have this word as a theme for the next 30 days, because connection is everything, truly everything, when it comes to our lives and the direction that God is leading in moving forward for His call, for His purposes on this planet, in this world. Connection is everything. It's what He desires with us more than anything. He wants us to be connected to Him at all times. He wants us to be aware and in touch with Him and desiring to hear from Him. All of those are a reflection of connection. And that's what we desire, not only with Him, but it's part of our journey with one another, is that we want to be connected. And within ourselves, we want to be connected to a sense of purpose and reason. Like, we don't enjoy a life that feels random, that feels kind of just going with the flow. No real sense of purpose or direction, like we're just doing whatever comes next. At some point and on some level, that doesn't feel safe or doesn't feel like the right plan for us. We might not always know exactly what we're supposed to do, but when we feel like we're doing something that has purpose and meaning to it, and we feel connected to purpose and meaning, we will gladly do things that are exhausting and hard and tedious and challenging. Hello, did that describe motherhood? There's a purpose within motherhood, but if we become disconnected from motherhood as a call and a purpose designed by God, it feels tedious and hard and exhausting. But when we reconnect and we say, God has a purpose for all of this. God has a purpose for this child that He has put in care in, for hardship that we're facing right now. We connect to our circumstances in that. When we have that mindset concerning what's going on in our lives, it makes it so much more bearable. But when it feels random, when it just feels like, man, this doesn't even make sense, like what is happening right now? And we're just kind of feeling like it's coming, life is coming at us, and it doesn't feel like there's purpose in it, it feels that much harder for us. And so I want us, as we go through the rest of May and into June before our next call next month, I want us to have a sense of connection to purpose in everything that we do. I want us to recognize and be aware, right? Because being intentional in our lives is truly about taking awareness up. We want to have our awareness on sensitive and be aware of what God is saying and what God is doing in us and through us in our day-to-day lives. So as we take our awareness up this month, in the past month, our awareness was up for celebrate and how we could find moments to celebrate. And this next month, our awareness is going to be up around connection, being connected to the Father and creating connection with others and connection to purpose in that moment. And that, I think, is going to create some real revelations and some real insights for us, that it will remove the mundane and the struggle from some of the things we're facing. And instead, we begin to see a purpose and a plan within them because we're committed to seeing that. We're committed to being aware of how we can have that connection and that experience for the next month. I believe truly that connection is the antidote to stressful situations. When we're in a stressful situation, I believe what's happening with us is there's a sense of disconnect. Maybe there's a disconnect from the person, if there's a person creating that stress for us. Maybe there's a disconnect to purpose and plan within that, or there's ultimately a disconnect with God the Father. But somewhere in there, there's a disconnect. But when we get connected, it brings our stress levels down. It brings a sense of peace. A grace is able to be introduced into that situation. So I want to talk briefly about how we can have connection in those five areas, those five priority areas that I teach moms about. And I will quickly rattle off those five areas for you all so that you have those in front of you if you're taking notes, or just for reference if you're just listening in, so that when we're having a conversation, you can, if something comes up. So the first area of priority is people that we care for. So as a mom, think about who it is that you're caring for. Of course, it's your kids. If you're married, because we do have some single moms in our group, it would be your spouse, your husband. If you're in that situation like I am, you have older parents that you're also caring for. But who are those people that you're directly caring for? So if you have children that are grown and have moved out and no longer under your roof, they wouldn't go on that list. They wouldn't be the ones that you're considering. I'm thinking those that day-to-day are looking for you to provide for them in some way. The second area is going to be your home, and that's everything that's happening underneath your roof. Whether your roof is a home or an apartment or a camper or a tent, whatever your living circumstance is, that's not what's important. That space that you call home and everything that happens in and around that space. The third area is the activities that you're involved in. That's everything that removes you away from your home. It's going to the soccer practice or going to church or going and being involved in some group that you're a part of. Everything that involves a go, where you're being removed from the home, all of those activities, the things that go on your calendar that get listed off, that's going to be the third area. The fourth is going to be whatever overwhelming circumstances are currently happening in your life. For some people, that overwhelming circumstance might be a birth right now. For some, it might be a death. For some, it might be a move. Because moving can be overwhelming. So many changes and so many new things to take into account and to consider and new friendships to form, that can be overwhelming. Perhaps there's been, like for me, you know, I have my parents currently planning to move and managing all of that, and sometimes that can be overwhelming. But those, whatever your overwhelming circumstance is, it could be your hubby just lost a job. It could be your hubby just got a new job. It's really not about the circumstance itself. It's truly about what feels overwhelming for you right now and doing a check-in with that. And then the last area that moms are managing is taking care of themselves, self-care. And, of course, for so many, that is one of the most neglected areas that we have in our lives, is managing the or taking the time and making sure that we remain a priority on our list of all the things that need to get done in the day. We're giving ourselves adequate rest, that we're giving ourselves adequate water and adequate time for fun and laughter and friendship, like you're doing tonight. Like, this truly is a part of self-care. And why is that great? Because your family benefits. The richer your life is, the more you're going to pour into your family and share it with them. But the more depleted we allow ourselves to become, the less we have to give them, the less we're able to pour into them from a sense of overflow. We're giving them what we need just to maintain. We get into survival mode at some point in that because we haven't been taking care of ourselves. So that's the five areas that when I'm working with moms, when I'm talking with moms, that I'm asking them to check in those areas. And for us in this next month, I want us to be checking in on those areas when we're thinking about connection. How can we deepen our connection with those we're caring for, with our kids, with our husband, with whomever else we may be caring for. Maybe you have a niece that lives with your family, or you have some other mom or someone else that you've taken in who's living with you now. How can you deepen your connection with them? How about within your home? What is it that you can do in your home or change in your home that would allow for greater connection? Like, here's one example in our house. We had a wall between our kitchen and our living room. So anytime you went in the kitchen, automatic feeling of disconnect from everyone else. It's like you could hear the conversation, but you kind of had to run around the corner to get in on the joke or to share a quick story, and then you ran back in the kitchen, and you're totally disconnected. And so we've taken that wall down. And now it just creates such a flow within our home where even if you're in the kitchen, you're still a part of all that's happening and going on. And I can see people, and I don't feel like I hear something happening, and that doesn't sound quite right, but I don't know what happened because I was behind the wall. I can now see them. Our activities. I want us this month to really look at our calendar and see what's on that calendar that maybe at some point it was a good idea for those things to be on the calendar. Everyone loved it, or it was something that had real purpose. But now it's just become routine, or it's become a struggle, which is a sign that God's grace for that is being lifted. What is that on our calendar that maybe we could either add to the calendar for connection or remove from the calendar so that we can facilitate greater connection in activities that will really keep us connected versus just give us one more thing to do, which none of us need? In the overwhelming circumstances, how can you look in that circumstance that maybe came to mind when I mentioned that area earlier? What is it about that that maybe you could create a connection to God in that circumstance? Maybe you can start to commit to praying more about it than talking about it. Maybe you can commit to more time looking for God's hand of provision versus seeing the lack of a need not being met. Maybe you can connect to others who share that struggle right now. And not simply try to deal with that struggle alone, but find other people you can connect to who will lift you up and encourage you, and you can encourage them, and you can go through it together. And then within yourself, looking for how you can see that this is part of God's purpose and plan for your life and not something that's randomly happening to you. And maybe that could give you the strength to carry on one more day. And then lastly, how can you facilitate more connection with yourself? How can you honor your needs, your desires, your dreams, your interests, your curiosities, your delights, your passions, your gifts, your talents, your experiences, your wisdom? How can you facilitate more connection with that this month, with who you are and who God has created you to be? I'll give you one hint in that. One thing that we do as moms and as women is we tend to overcommit ourselves. And that is one of those examples of disconnect. And it creates an atmosphere of self-harm. It's like we disconnect from what we know is best for us, and we instead say yes to many things that pull us and require more of us than we honestly have to give. So maybe if there's some area in your life where you're overcommitted and overextended, it's time to reconnect with what you really need. If you're someone who needs time alone, but you've committed to a lot of activities that require you to be in groups and among people a lot, then it's time to reconnect with you and say, you know what really fuels me, what really lights me up, what really energizes me and causes me to feel more love for people is when I have the opportunity to be alone, but when I have the opportunity to experience quiet, and right now I have created a schedule that's just way too busy and way too overwhelming, and I'm not getting that. And I can feel it because I'm feeling more cranky and irritable and short with everyone in my life, and I don't want to be that way. So really, ladies, that's all that I wanted to share. And I hope that something that I've said has stirred something in you, because I always love this time when I turn the call over to you all and I get to hear what you've heard me say or what spoke to you or what ideas you've had, because that's the part that makes this call so beneficial. And I want you to know that what you say is valuable not only to the ladies on the call, but to all the ladies. I send this recording out to so many ladies who aren't able to join us live. And so many listen to the recording, and they're encouraged by the things that you all share. So do know that I want you to be a part of this, because it adds to the encouragement and the ideas and the flow of love and generosity when you share. So at this moment, I open the call up, and I look forward to hearing what you all have to say. Someone want to jump in?
I guess I'm just still, this is Kiana, I'm just still processing all the things you said. It kind of touched a lot of different buttons in my life. We just started homeschooling not too long ago, and I'm very much type A personality, and so I have my list that I want checked off, and I have all these different line items in my head that I want to get through, and sometimes I just feel like I'm not being effective, I guess, or the most effective. And, you know, when you talked about the calendar and, you know, overcommitting yourself and kind of looking back and see where you can, you know, be more intentional and really kind of take some things out, and really, it was all, it's really good. It's just really kind of got me thinking about how to be more intentional and how to really plug in so that I can be led to kind of where God wants me to be and kind of how he wants our family to be. Because with the boys, I'm kind of feeling like, okay, we're almost at the halfway mark, and there's so much more work to be done with character development and schooling and all these different things. And sometimes I wonder, how am I going to juggle all of the different, you know, the house, the laundry, the meals, the husband, the schooling, the character development, spending the quality time, being, you know, and so kind of looking at how we can make our home a better atmosphere to connect was really a great insight that you had brought. So yeah, I'm just kind of sitting, trying to take it all in. And
that's beautiful.
Really,
that's
great.
A beautiful
really
share. Because you have several areas where they all came up for you at once. Like, it's connecting with the kids, and it's connecting with the husband.
Yes.
And so in that, I hear a sense of, like, a ball rolling down a hill, and it's picking up momentum. And what I don't want is that ball of momentum to crush you.
Right.
And you get even more overwhelmed just thinking about connections. And
right.
Some moms might listen to this and think, man, I already feel, like, overconnected. How about not overcommitted? I feel overconnected. Like, there's a lot of people connecting to me right now, needing stuff from me. And, like, personally, I just want to, like, hit the button that says off, or, you know, like, out of order, or, like, do not disturb, or whatever that button would be. So I don't want that for you.
Mm-hmm.
All I want for you is to recognize that God has a plan for you. And take take comfort in knowing that God has a plan for your children.
Mm.
And he's at work. And I jokingly say, and I say it jokingly, but I really mean it, my children are so much of what they are. Amazing character, very hard workers, focused, doing well in life, as much because of me as it is in spite of me. Because goodness knows I've made mistakes with them. I have regrets of things that I've done that I go, man, I wish I could have done that over. I wish I wouldn't have said that like that. I wish I would have been more aware or handled that differently. I look back and see some things that I wish were different. Yet, when I pause long enough to say, yet, that situation and my poor reaction, still God's grace covered it.
Right.
Still his grace enabled them to get to see that their mother fails and makes mistakes and jacks it up, and there's a God big enough to cover even that. Like, even her mistakes won't keep them from God's best.
Right. That's so good.
And there's a peace in that to say, in spite of me, God's will be done in their lives.
Mm.
It's not because of me. It's in spite of me it will be done.
Mm.
I can't stop God's plan for them. Not that I want to, but when I take my eyes off of my failings long enough, I can remember that I can't do it, even if I willfully said I was going to do it, which I would never would. God's will be done in their lives.
Wow.
And I hope hearing that allows your heart to rest in that, so that you don't feel like, okay, now I need to make a list of all the ways I'm going to connect with the kids and connect with the husband and connect with the home. And, like, that becomes another list for you that crushes the heart of the message, which is be reflective and aware of the connections maybe that already exist, or how you can adjust your perspective enough to see how you can create connection as you're talking to them, as you're teaching them, as you're serving them dinner. How can you create and foster connection in the things you're already doing, not necessarily looking for new things to go do? Does that make sense?
That's good. Yes, ma'am. That's great.
All right.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone else want to share about connection? Amanda, by chance, are you in a place where you can
sit? Yeah, I was just going to say something. I was struggling to unmute my phone. I kept hitting the button and it wouldn't unmute. No, this is all so good. It really kind of hits home with me. I'm a homeschooling mom of three boys, and I used to teach. I was a teacher for like 9 years. And my identity was so wrapped up in my job, and I had a lot of connections, and I've always been kind of an overachiever, and I'm always doing. And so when I stopped working and I stayed at home, it became really isolating all of a sudden. And I kind of lost what I felt like was my self-worth, you know, wrapped up in work. And it was such a mind shift and a heart shift for me to be at home and to kind of reestablish, like, all the things that really mattered in my life, my relationship to God, and really just my soul identity with God and to my family and as a wife and a mother and a homeschooling. And so for a while, it got kind of isolating. And I prayed for like a couple of years, like, God, just send me some friends. Please give me some friends. I need friends. I need good, strong women who love the Lord, who have kids who love kids, who are even homeschooling moms. And God is so faithful, because I've met some wonderful people, and it brings me back to that, what you said, a good way to get disconnected is by overdoing and overcommitting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's totally me. And I was doing so many things. Even as a homeschooling mom, I was still kind of doing side jobs. And I had to lay down that side job and just say, okay, this is enough, because I have become even more disconnected and isolated because I didn't have the friendships that I was having. I kind of separated myself out a little bit more. When I laid that job down, I met wonderful friends and made connections. It's very good. That overdoing it and overcommitting yourself really hit home with me, because I'm so that kind of person. Somebody says, hey, we need someone to do X, Y, Z, and I'm like, I'm on it. I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really good.
I love it. Yeah, I often refer to several things, but one of what you just said, I call that the dilemma of a highly capable woman.
Mm.
And the highly capable woman truly can do so
Amen.
Many things.
Yes.
And rare is it to have someone in her life who will say, it's time to step away from all
yes.
the things you can do, because it's preventing you from truly being connected to the purpose and the plan that God is pulling you towards.
Yep.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It, at some point, all of those things you can do ultimately become a distraction.
Uh-huh.
But
Amen.
They look good.
That's so true.
They look good. And people look at you and they're like, man, look at all the stuff she can get done. But how
right.
many people stop and say, hey, how much of that are you supposed to be doing?
Mm.
Like, what of that is what God has called you to do versus something
right.
you picked up along the way?
Right. Preach.
So I totally affirm you in that. And how can I speak to it? Because I suffer from the same dilemma. If I can be highly capable, so I just take on stuff. I'm like, man, I can already see that thing done. Here, give it to me. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And before I know it, I've picked up 3 and 4 things, and I'm wondering, now what in the world? Like, why do I have all this stuff to do? And it's like, oh,
right.
I remember. I raised my hand.
Yep.
Right. yeah.
Yes, so I totally get that. Thank you, Amanda, for sharing that. Because so many great things you just shared, especially when you talked about something that we have our identity in, and for you that was your career.
Mm-hmm.
And several moms on the call tonight are homeschool moms. And I always like to remind moms, especially those that are listening, that this community is not just homeschool moms. There just happens to be quite a few of them because I homeschool. And I invite people and I want them here. And it doesn't matter to me where your kids go to school. That's not what's important. It's all of us have this like-minded desire for God's best for our families. And we want to be more intentional in our lives. We just happen to have homeschooling in common. The end.
Right.
Because sometimes in mom circles, there can be such a disconnect. There's the working moms and the stay-at-home moms. And I got my own business, and I don't have a business. Like, it's like, wait, guys, like, that's not what's important. Those are distractions. So ultimately, we're all in this together. Motherhood is a challenge. It's a gift and a calling, and it's challenging. And we want to have real conversation about both sides of that, both the good stuff and the wins we want to celebrate and the challenges that we're facing, and encourage one another. So I thank you, Amanda, for jumping in and sharing yours. Those are some great insights. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Anyone else want to jump in and share about what you heard or what's on your heart around connection? Miss Nkechi, we haven't heard from you yet. I'm wondering if that means that Miss Abby is awake, or you just
No, I'm just in here thinking because I'm still a new mother. I'm trying to rediscover, because I'm an extrovert, so I thrive around people, and so I'm leaving that period of isolation with having a preemie, And just this week, I was thinking, how can I be more connected? Because I know the single version of me and the married version of me without kids, how I'd reach out. And so I'm listening to all the mothers and taking notes from you guys.
Mm.
Just exploring ways of, because when I connect with people, I connect very deeply. That's just my personality. And so just trying to find energy to even connect. And I know it sounds funny, even finding energy to connect with myself. Because after doing, you know, being up and being with Abby all day, at the end of the day, I'm just done. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to think about anything. But I sense that something is missing. But one thing that I am blessed and privileged is my husband is very keen on self-care and growth. That's one of the reasons, one of the things that attracted me to my husband. But there are these little side projects that I committed to do. And I'm like, honey, how can I do it in a day? And he's like, and just the power of having your spouse support you in figuring it out, you know, like on we made Sundays my quote-unquote focus day. And so the way our Sundays goes, because we have a Sunday evening service, and on Saturdays we make it a family Sabbath day. And that's just the way it is. We all rest. We all celebrate what's gone in the week, and we just rest that day. And he's like, I'll take care of, you know, Abby and everything. You just need a couple hours. I know it takes a while for you to get revved up, to get focused. And so we just actually started that this past weekend. And so that's a way for me to sort of connect with myself, just because there's been so much that's been out of my control. Just health-wise and emotions and all stuff. It's just recognizing me and doing what me does, you know, by myself a little bit, but in hopes that you know, making new goals, saying like once a week, make sure that I either call a friend over the phone or I go out to meet them with Abby for, you know, Starbucks or for a meal, you know, or, you know, I'm doing a girlfriend's weekend to a wedding, just myself and a friend from graduate school, in 2 months' time. And using that as a big celebration, just knowing that there are pockets there and just reminding myself people are more important than to-do lists and things like that and making sure to make that more of a higher priority. So that's where I'm at right now.
Wow, but you just gave so many very practical and easy to do ideas around connection, like picking up the phone and calling a friend. I mean, immediately that just removes that sense of loneliness and isolation, and you're connecting.
Yeah.
And it didn't mean you had to get up and go drive across town, or you didn't have to hop on a flight to go see someone. Like, you just picked up the phone and called. Like, how many times have any of us had someone on our mind and we go, oh, I was just thinking about them, but we could have done something simple, like call them or send them a quick text or write them a note. Like, how many of us love to get stuff in the mail? Like, hello, I love that. It just knows that someone took the time. They were thinking about me and they took the time to write a note, and we can do the same. And we know, you know, especially us of faith, our believers, that what we sow, we also reap. So as much as we're reaching out to others, that facilitates the opportunity for God to bring people into our lives that will connect with us and will enrich us at just the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
It just creates this cycle, and we're a part of the work that God is doing, and I love that. So great examples, Nkechi. Pick up the phone, go out for coffee, go for a walk with a friend. Say, hey, I'm going to go for a walk around the neighborhood. You want to meet me outside in 10 minutes? Let's go. Or later today, let's go out and let's just walk for a little bit and chat. I mean, that's so doable and so practical. So thank you for sharing that. That's good stuff.
I remember when my boys were little, I started to give myself allowances for little guilty pleasures as like a reward. I know it sounds silly, but there would be some days where I would be like, okay, Mama's going to go and go through the drive-thru, and I'm going to get a fry and a shake. And it's going to be me.
Oh, you're speaking my language. You're speaking my language.
And so, I mean, it sounds silly, but, you know, sometimes it was just to be able to get into the car to say, yeah, I'll be back in 10 minutes, and you know what? I deserve this. You know, mm-hmm, it's a shake, it's a fry, or a Starbucks, you know, their little vanilla bean scones and a strawberry banana smoothie.
You had to go with the details there. You had to go with the details.
I would say, this is my reward. And even as silly as it sounds, it was like, okay, you know, twice a month or whatever you decide, I would do it, you know, mm-hmm, maybe twice a month, and it would be something that I would say, okay, I'm just going to do this for me. And I would look, yeah, forward to it, and it would be something to kind of get me out of that mind frame, like, okay, dishes are done. Okay, baby's down, baby's red. You know, there's so much that, especially in the beginning, that children require of you that is so physical that,
yeah,
you could be so worn down, but I would be like, oh, you know what? Today is my shake in Friday. And it just kind of was like, I don't know, it was a little treat for me. And I just remember doing it when my boys were really young. And it was a nice little bonus that I did for myself, because as a mom, we're the last person that we worry about. Everyone else has to be taken care of. And then it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to just fall into bed and wake up and do it all again tomorrow. So, I mean, I think those little treats kind of help me say, okay, no, this is for me. And then I didn't get, you know, resentful. I didn't feel like, you know what, wow, did anyone actually care about if I had a shower today? Everyone else had a bath, you know, just little things like that. So, I don't know.
Yes. No, I don't
Thank
think
you
anything
sharing.
About
That's
what
good.
You said was silly. I thought that was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I mean, shake, well, yeah, I was with you and catchy. I was like, man, shake and fries sounds fabulous. Tell me, I would hop in the car with you in a minute.
Just, it's a Chick-fil-A milkshake. I was thinking the Chick-fil-A milkshake and their fries is my weakness. So that was what I was thinking. Yeah.
Gracious. That sounds fabulous. And I love that it was something that was meaningful to you. And that's what matters.
Right.
It's like,
right.
And if you're starting out with this, like if self-care hasn't been a part of your, even your awareness, it hasn't been on your radar at all, I love that. Mm-hmm. Schedule it. Mm-hmm. Put some things on the calendar that mean something to you. I'm going to go meet a friend for coffee on Friday at 11 o'clock and make it an appointment. And I want those of you who have already done little things like that to up the challenge. I'm in a stage where initially just even thinking about myself was huge. That was my process over time. I had become so focused on the kids, so focused on the family and what they needed, that I was like, you know, almost clueless as to what I wanted. Like my kids, it's their birthday. They're already telling me what they want for their birthday next year. You know, the birthday isn't over.
Isn't that the
day.
Truth?
And they're, like, already going, next year for my birthday, I want to go here, and I want to get this. And it would come to my birthday, and they'd be like, Mom, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, sleep. You know, that's all I could come up with.
Yes.
It's like, hey, man, like, can somebody give me some sleep? I don't know. Like, I don't have a thought. I didn't have a list. I didn't have a real connection to what brought me joy. Now, today, oh, I could rattle off a list. You know, they're kind of like, okay, man. And then their thought is, but your stuff is expensive. Like, you like good stuff. Like, yeah, I do. Like, my stuff is not at the dollar store. But I have a list now. So my challenge now, and for anyone else who might be able to also come up with a list, is that you're doing something daily that's just for you. And remember, ladies, when I say this, self-care is not about how much money you spend.
Right.
But it's when I'm in the shower, I'm not just in the shower for the basics of getting my body clean. But maybe I stay in that shower an extra 5 minutes and just soak in how good it feels to have that hot water hitting my shoulders. Mm. And that's my self-care in that moment. I can just stand there and enjoy the shower
for a couple of extra minutes, and I'm intentional about it, which is what refuels me. I'm not just in the shower mindlessly, like, wash the legs, wash the arm, wash the back, okay, get out, next thing. I'm in the shower, I shower, and then I stand there on purpose and just take in that moment of just I'm by myself in the shower enjoying the hot water. Maybe I'll fix myself a cup of tea and I'll sit down for a minute. Maybe I'll take a nap. And I'll say, instead of getting stuff done when everyone else is down for quiet time today, I'm going to lay down too. Maybe I'll actually get to go to sleep, but I'm going to pause in the busyness and go, 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 and rest.
Right.
But being intentional to daily do something that refuels me gives me more energy and desire and love for those that I'm caring for my home, for the activities that I'm involved in, and for finding purpose within my overwhelming circumstances. It flows out of that self-care. All of those things are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else want to jump in? I love what you all are sharing.
I was giggling on the fries and the shake because I'm a little health nut over here. So I was like thinking, okay, so what I would do is I would go walk around Whole Foods. That's what I would do.
Ooh.
That's my treat, walk around Whole Foods.
Nice. Whole Foods got good stuff too.
Oh, I know.
Then
I think I know
stuff.
Too well. I know, like $6 for a little something. I'm like, wait a minute.
There we go. Yeah, I'll never forget. I'll tell a quick story about my kids. We went to Whole Foods, and we're here in Austin, so we went to the flagship store, gorgeous place, and we went in the produce section, and they had some, I believe it was apples that I had never heard of or seen, and they just looked gorgeous. Doesn't everything in Whole Foods look gorgeous? I mean, I think we're more gorgeous in Whole Foods. I mean, you just go stand in there on those days where you don't feel too pretty. You're like, man, I'm prettier up in here. Anyway, we were looking at the apples, and the kids were like, can we have some? I was like, sure, guys. And listen, you know, and I'm used to H-E-B shopping, so I'm like, you know, just put however many in a bag. I just kind of fill up the bag. I'm kind of in that mindset. I kind of went unconscious. And we just loaded up the bag, but they were looking so good and smelling so good. I think I did, let's just get two bags. Man, we got to the checkout, and I was like, what happened? Like, what food? How much money? Like, it's like the reality, you know, caught up with me. It was like I was smelling the coffee then. I was like, whoo! I'm awake.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in Whole Foods. Like, snap to, girl. This is not H-E-B with the sale bag apples. Like, this is Whole Foods apples. So you better believe when I served those things, I was like, listen, eat every bite. Let's enjoy this.
We're going to boil the core. Use it for dinner.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yes. Oh, now when I go in Whole Foods, I always remember that daggum produce section. I'm like, yeah, no. Be aware. We're in Whole Foods. Pay attention.
Weigh
everybody.
It. Where's the scale? Weigh it.
That's great. Yeah, see, that's why it's a treat. You know, you walk around Whole Foods. I don't shop there. It's just a treat.
Yes, I actually knew a mom. That was her grocery store. And I was always just wowed by her. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else have some ideas on connection around any of those five priority areas or anything that you wanted to state out loud to us for accountability? Like, hey, guys, you know, this is what came up for me and I could use some support and know that we are a group of ladies who will encourage you and affirm you in that.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
What recommendation would you give to moms who are looking to form connections with other women of like minds, you know, as we kind of go along our path. I feel like as a mom, it's hard to, you know, you're not single anymore, so mm-hmm. your lifestyle is different. So what mm-hmm. advice would you give for moms who want to connect and find that core group of women that they can, you know, come alongside each other and iron sharpens iron and speak into each other's lives? What would be your recommendation in starting that?
Such a great question. And since you and I got to talk earlier today, I want to share a story with the other ladies on the call that I shared with you in the park, because I think that that'll help set the context for my answer that I'll give you in that. So I was sharing with Kiana today when we met that for years I felt the sense, the pain and the hurt and the disappointment and the frustration around so many disconnected, broken relationships in my life when it came to other women and friendships. Because when I was a new mom and we were all having our babies together, maybe from being in birthing class together, and we're celebrating the new baby, and then I decided to stay at home, but some of them decided to go to work. So our schedules were no longer the same. We were no longer in the same flow and on the same time frame. And then as the babies got older and became children and it was time to have the school conversation, for those who were stay-at-home moms, maybe they're deciding to put their kids in school. But I was deciding to homeschool. So then there was a disconnect because our schedules were no longer the same. And I felt like, ah, man, I just lost another circle of friends, and we were having a good time together. And I kind of wanted to have those ladies who were just in my life like forever. Like we had our kids together, and we raised our kids together, and we got these experiences. You know, I felt like this romantic notion of friendship like from movies where the ladies knew each other forever. I thought, this is what I'll have. And each time that I would go through a transition or a new season in my life, it would feel like there's some kind of brokenness. Maybe they moved and they were, you know, leaving the state or leaving the city or going away, and they were just no longer friends. And I remember crying out to God and saying, I want friends. I feel like these people were on a train together, and we keep having these stops in life, and they get off the train. And I'm like, but they got off, but you told me to stay. But, hey, new people would get on the train. And I thought, hey, good, good, good. These will be my companions on this journey. And then the train would stop again, and they would get off. And maybe some people new would get on. Or sometimes nobody would get on. It would just kind of pull away. And I'm thinking, wait, like I'm on this train by myself. What's up with that, God? And he gave me this visual, and he said, here's the thing. Let me give you my perspective of what you're describing. You all were never on the same train together. Instead, picture a big train station where lots of tracks are coming into one station and they're parallel. You all were on parallel tracks. Your trains were so close, you looked like you were on the same train, but you weren't on the same train together. You were on parallel tracks. And when I called them off in a different direction, that wasn't a breaking. It was them following what I've called them to do. Just like you're following the path and the track that I've laid for you. And so when those people pull away from you, bless them that they're following what I called. Pray that that's what they're doing, that they're following what I've called them to do, and ask for them to pray for you to stay faithful to the journey I've called you to. So those people who are parallel to you in your life right now, like you ladies on the call, we're on parallel tracks right now. God has brought us so close to one another that it might appear we're on the same train, but we're parallel to one another right now. And we want to bless this time and honor this time we have together, because at any moment, he could call any one of us to go in a slightly different direction, which means we won't be in this space together anymore. But we want to bless one another to go off and keep following God and doing exactly what he called them to do. And who knows? He might actually bring those tracks back into parallel again. It happens. Sometimes people who left your life end up coming back. And isn't that always exciting? But it doesn't mean that whomever's with you will be with you forever. So if anyone has ever had that feeling like I have had, I hope that brings you some peace. So to answer your question, Kiana, what would I say as an encouragement? With almost anything, I always encourage moms to start with your why or get really clear on what it is you're looking for. Almost like a job description, I would write out, who is that woman you're looking for? What is it about her? What are the character traits you're looking for in her? What is it that she loves and enjoys? What do you want to do with her? Even if it's something really odd and specific, write that down too. I would love it if she is a violin player because I play violin. I mean, that's super specific, right? Mm-hmm. But write it out on what that would look like for you. The ideal friend, if you want to write that, call it that title, the ideal friend or the ideal women that I want to spend time with. And then use that list as a prayer list. You get to pray for God to lead and direct your steps to just that kind of woman, just that woman that he had in mind as he placed those desires on your heart. Because he promised to give us the desires of our heart. He said that's what he would do. So trusting him in that. And then being willing to put yourself in circles where those women might go. You know, it's kind of like when I talk to single women and they say they want to be married, but maybe they're still going to clubs and hanging out. Then I'm like, hey, the man that you would ultimately want to marry, do you think he'll be there? Then that's not the place you should go. If you want to find a husband, don't go to the place where guys are looking for hookups. Right. It's not the mindset of the person you want. So then ask yourself, where would that woman be that you ultimately want to spend time with? Because wherever you meet her, it's a sign of where her focus and attention is. So if that means that you want a mom who chooses activities and she's very intentional around it, and you're putting yourself in circles with women who fill up their calendars and they just go, go, go to the next thing, to the next thing, you're not going to meet her there because she wouldn't be involved in 8 million activities. She's going to be focused and intentional on the ones that mean the most. So I would say start with what it is you're truly looking for, pray over that, and then be willing to put yourself in places where you can meet women who are being intentional and have that desire the same way that you do.
That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And maybe someone else on the call has some ideas too, because they heard that question. Any of you other ladies have some ideas or feedback for Kiana on that?
Yeah, when I was a teacher in school, one of my biggest things I'd hear from kids is, I don't have any friends. I need friends. And I'd look at them and I'd say, you know, the very first thing that you have to do is be a friend.
A friend. And
so,
yep.
Yeah, we got to put ourselves out there. It's not always easy when we become adults, you know, and we're not in school anymore and we're more isolated in a certain sense. So, yeah, we have to take that first step. You know, it's not always easy and can't always expect everybody to come to us. You know, so I think it's good to just step out and, you know, embrace whoever you're speaking to and go deep. And if it's there, it's there.
Right.
Very nice.
I love the train
analogy.
Analogy. Thank you. Analogy.
Yes.
That is so good. And I see that in my life. I had, had some really amazing women in my life when I was working full time, and I just thought when I left that job, I was devastated, heartbroken, and even had dreams and would wake up teary eyed because they meant so much to me. But it's like everywhere, every step is in season of life. It's like there are new, you know, connections that are going to be made. So it's just encouraging to know that, you know, wherever you are in your season of life, you're going to have people coming in and out, and they're going to touch your life in a different way. And no matter where you move to, or there's always somebody that God's got sitting there waiting to meet, you know, friendships ready to forge. It's very encouraging. And then the fact that we could be pulled back to parallel, I like that thought. Very good.
Yeah. That really encouraged me at a time where I was truly feeling frustrated and alone. I kept feeling left, and I didn't like that feeling. So that perspective really has helped me to have a lot more grace around those changes and those new seasons, because what happened is I started to dread change. I started to dread that next phase that I could see coming, and I thought, oh, man, no, not again, because then that means I got to start over, and now I'm it kept feeling like starting over, and I was like, come on, like, I don't want to keep doing that. And now this perspective allows me to release people and bless them, and also to have a sense of purpose and know that God has a plan for me, even though I might feel alone, to know that I'm not alone, and He will bring those that I'm supposed to go this leg of the journey with, He'll bring them to me.
Susan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Jerry. I remember, I just wanted to affirm the mom that asked the question originally. I understand definitely where you are coming from. I remember close friendship, for lack of a better word, I want to say dissolving. I don't know that that's the right word, but just definitely feeling like the closest was gone, not just absent, but just gone. And I remember saying out loud that I needed friends. I just felt like I didn't have really good friends. And I have one who is wonderful, but she's so far away. And so, yeah, we can talk on the phone and that kind of thing, but you know how you want to get together with girlfriends from time to time, or just, anyway, you can't... And you got the babies, and you want the babies to be close. Or anyway, it's like you're just too far away to make some of these connections work. And so it really, really bothered me. And I'm very extrovert personality. And so you would think that, oh, my gosh, it would just be easy to find this close friendship. And for me to actually say out of my mouth, I feel alone and not, I have a wonderful husband, but the women friendships alone, that was just a big deal for me. And so all I can say is God is good and God is faithful because He did bring me friends, not in the not necessarily in the way that I would have even expected it to come. It was almost like I got distracted doing life. Does that make sense? And as I was doing life, I remember talking with some women, and we started sharing some thoughts back and forth, and it was like, well, you know, maybe we should get together and see if there's any other women that are interested in doing what we're talking about doing. And so we, like, put this email out to a bunch of people to, hey, come if you, let's talk about, you know, developing these fellowship and friendship and doing some things with our kids together and so on and so forth. And out of all these women that we invited or opened it up to, it was only five that actually came.
Wow.
And one wound up moving away shortly after that. But the four of us stayed friends and are still friends, close friends, for years. And the things that God has done in us and through us and being a blessing to one another's lives, it has been absolutely over the top, so much better than anything I could have figured out to do on my own. So I said all that to simply say, I understand the place in your heart where you are desiring those friendships. I would just simply say, God hears you, He absolutely knows, and He has His friendships available and ready for you. He's bringing it all together. He's bringing it all together, and it will be so much richer and so much better than anything you could even have expected. It will be a place where you can be a blessing and a place where you can receive.
Right.
And like I said, I am over the top, overjoyed that what God has done in that area for me. And like I said, it came when I was, like, distracted. I was doing life. Mm-hmm. Other things were going on. I wasn't thinking about my need for friendship at that time. I was doing other things, and wow.
Yeah.
You know what I love about what you just shared, Jerry, is that's exactly what I tell my older kids who are in that season, you know, especially my son, who's looking at, you know, well, who might God bring in my life? Who might my wife be? Have I already met her? Am I going to meet her soon? And I tell him that exact same thing. You make one commitment at this point, and that is to stay true to what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as you are busy chasing after what he's laid before you, he will bring that person into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just look up, and she's there. And she's a part of what you're a part of, and you all are just drawn to one another as you go in life. And your life, it's like your train tracks, right, are just parallel and staying that way. And you notice that other people fall off, but this person stays and remains. And you go, huh, like, she's catching my attention, and I find myself around her more and desiring to be around her more. I wonder what's up with that. And so then you can begin to say, okay, God, is this the one that you brought for me? So it's in the midst of, in the flow of what God has, he'll bring those people along. So I love that perspective that you share, because that's exactly what I share for them when it comes to relationships.
Praise God. Thank you, Susan.
That's good. Thank you.
Yes. Well, ladies, that was, like, I think one of the fastest mom's night. I just looked up at the clock. I'm like, whoa, time is up. That was fantastic. So that is how our mom's night out go. It's just an open conversation for us to share and encourage and affirm one another. And I look forward to next month. We'll be back for Tuesday of the month. We're here every month. It will be June 28th. Our topic next time, our focus is going to be inspired action, and I look forward to sharing about that with you. And I look forward to hearing your insights from this month about the ways that God brings an awareness of connection and a sense of connection to your day-to-day life, and the walk and the path that he's brought your way. So I have a request before you go. Ladies, I would appreciate your support around my book. If you haven't purchased a copy of the book yet, would you go to Amazon and purchase a copy and get it in your home and read it or share it with others? If you already have a copy, would you buy another one and share it with some other moms? It's what I've created to be an encouragement to mothers, to be a burden lifter and a support to them. And I've poured out my heart in that. As much as I poured out in this call, I poured it out into that book. And I would appreciate your support for things like this, where I sponsor these calls and facilitate these calls, that helps to further the message of what God has placed in my heart to others that I have yet to meet, but you know them. And that if you could create that bridge of connection or that support to me to say, hey, Susan, I support you in this, and I'm willing to purchase this book or go to your website and share a post with others or go to YouTube and share some of your videos with others, I appreciate that kind of support, because this truly is me and my kids and my hubby who are facilitating all of this happening for you all because of our love and care for you. And so when you do actions like that, when you share with your friends, when you invite other moms to come join us on these calls, that causes me to feel your support and your connection
to what I'm sharing. So I appreciate any action that you take, but I especially appreciate if you'll go out and purchase that book or order a set of cards from me, or on my website you can see the products and the services that I offer, including one-on-one mentoring. That's also available, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that if that's something that interests you. But that is all for our call tonight. Thank you all for being here and for sharing so generously, and I look forward to talking with each of you next month. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank
so much.
You. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, everybody. Blessings.
Good night. Good night.